This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, which means you got me, Deb Wolf, your host. And I was thinking about that old joke. Why did the chicken cross the road? Because there's this address about three blocks away from me out here in the country, along this country highway, where the traffic goes whizzing by lately because the real highway is under construction. So people are detouring off the main road, especially during rush hour, in droves. So it's just, you know, steady traffic. And there on the side of the road with all these cars going by, right next to the curve and elbow curve and a turn. So the cars are whipping around the over and over and over and over. And there's cars coming the other way too. Right next to all that are a bunch of chickens. And I've driven by them many times now. And I've decided that one of them is probably a silkie and another one might be a Polish. Anyway, somebody spent good money for these chickens. They're pretty fancy. They got the hairdos and the fancy feathers and all that. And they're just on the side of the road. So I'm thinking, well, why don't those chickens cross the road? You know, the old joke, right? How come there's no dead chickens on the road? Why is this person so careless with their expensive chickens? And then I'm looking around and I'm realizing, okay, so where these chickens are is the little bit of shoulder on the side of the road where there's a big giant composter. And so probably there's a lot for them to eat right there in that spot. So why would the chickens not cross the road? Well, it kind of brings up another old saying, because the grass isn't greener on the other side. The chickens got everything. The chickens have everything they need on the side they're on. So there's really no reason to cross. So that's the reason the chickens didn't cross the road. So that's our little riddle today, because I do wonder that. And one day, I guess, when the grass does look greener on the other side, those chickens could be in danger because they do like to cross roads. Okay, so I had a question sent in to me about the dog with the stick stuck in the top of her mouth. So you may recall that incident. Her name's Peachy. She's a golden doodle. She's 2.5 years old. And she likes to play like most dogs, like most retrievers. And she doesn't seem to play with sticks very much. And here at Camp Good Dog, boarding kennel, training facility, breeding kennel, we don't throw sticks for dogs very much. We throw balls and Kongs and other things. So it's kind of strange that this happened to Peachy. And another dog, maybe 1.5 years ago now, it happened to him. But in all the time I've been doing this, long time now, all the time the kennel's been open, there's only been a few incidents, a handful of incidents of where a dog is biting on a stick and the ends of the stick get bitten off and fall to the ground and the middle of the stick sticks in the top of their mouth. And as they go about their day or chew or eat, it can go on for days, weeks, the stick gets wedged further and further and further until it's embedded in the roof of their mouth. It's pressing on their teeth. It causes a terrible odor. So your young dog smells like it's got old dog breath, basically. It's really not nice. Sometimes they salivate. You can see them drooling. Sometimes they won't eat. Sometimes they won't play. It can give them an infection and a fever. It can actually do a lot of harm and cause you a lot of vet bills. And it's really hard to get it out of there because you don't know how it got in there. Same as a sliver. It's hard to know. You have to pull it out just the right way because no other way will work. If you push it to the back, the teeth are too tight. You push it to the front, the teeth are too tight. So usually you have to pull straight down. That's usually how it got in there. Not always. But so I've got some pictures on Deb Wolf Pet Expert Facebook if you want to look at Peachy. And I've also shown her just after I removed it on Deb Wolf Pet Expert YouTube. So if you want to check it out, you can see what it's like. The reason I'm bringing it up again is because we got an email and there was a picture of a dog with a stick wedged in the top of the mouth and an explanation that they ended up having to go to the vet because they didn't know how you could possibly hold a dog steady enough to pull the stick out. And that I understand. Oh my goodness, do I understand that. And I understand that freshly from yesterday. So here's the thing. Peachy, once again, I was giving her a haircut yesterday, had my little clippers out. Zzz, zzz, zzz. She's all cool about it. She's relaxed. She's enjoying the grooming. I get to her face with scissors, so it should be less worrisome for her. They're just little scissors, just going to give her a little mustache trim. And she's wincing as if I'm hurting her, even though I'm barely touching her or not touching her. So wincing in anticipation. So I think, oh my God, what's going on here? I open up her mouth. Sure enough, a twig, not even a stick, a twig, a remnant of a stick, a twig is stuck in there, right in the same spot. Gosh darn it, how did that happen again? Well, I look closely at her jaw after it was all over, and I'll tell you what happened next in a second, but I look closely at her jaw and I realized that the shape of the front of her mouth is quite narrow, and then the molars are quite widely spaced. Most dogs have a more gentle change from the front of the mouth to the back. So if it's a German Shepherd, it'll be sort of shaped like a V. And if it's a retriever, like a golden retriever or a poodle, it'll be shaped a little more like a U. But it's usually all the teeth are lined up nicely and they just sort of slightly widen the gap of the mouth as they go toward the back. You know, they're tight, close together at the front. And so that's usually how it works. They go up back on an angle. But in her case, it's a sudden change from the few front teeth to the big molars. The big molars are quite widely spaced across the jaw. And so there's this space where it's so likely to get a stick caught. So now I know that. And everyone down at the kennel knows that. And I'll be checking her regularly, not just when I groom her. I'll be checking her all the time and making sure. So if you have a dog like this, and the people who showed me the picture certainly did, you got to check them all the time. You got to check them like every day, every other day. Just have a look inside their mouth. Now we're going to come to the next thing, which is, what did I do with Peachy? And it ties into our question, how do you hold a dog still enough to not have to take it to the vet? And these people took their dog to emergency. And even with the vet tech skill, they couldn't deal with it without drugging the dog. So they put the dog under and they got the thing out. And then I guess they cleaned it probably, even though it's in the mouth, very hard to, can't do bandages and things like that. But they may have put some kind of, some kind of patch on there, maybe, possibly. And then lots of antibiotics and probably anti-inflammatories and probably $500 if they're lucky. If they went to an emergency facility, maybe $750. Oh, no. So, yeah, stay tuned and I'll tell you how to keep your dog still to pull the stick out. And maybe you won't get that vet bill. Stay tuned on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. So there I am, clipping the dog, sitting on the back porch in the sun, enjoying the day. Got the next dog, Dorita, lined up. She's eager to be next. Fabio, who doesn't need a haircut, is lining up too because he just likes it. So they're all, it's my little poodle doodle spa situation. And I'm having a nice iced coffee and I'm just enjoying the day. And all of a sudden I realize, oh no, there's a problem with Peachy. Oh no, why is she wincing? Why is she acting all fearful? How come everybody waiting has skedaddled conveniently as if something's about to go down? What do they know that I don't know? And then, okay, so I look inside her mouth because I'm starting to clip her muzzle and she's wincing at just my touch. And even the thought of me touching her, she's sort of shying away a little bit, just a little bit, but wincing a bit and just indicating there's, she doesn't want it, which is weird. So normally they want to be scratched and pet and wrestled, and she's kind of a rough and tumble gal, and she's young, so normally that wouldn't happen. So she doesn't have aches and pains and owies, you know, she's a young dog. So I look inside her mouth and I see the stick. And right away I think, oh no, okay, I'll just pull it out. So I try with my fingers. Nope. I try with getting my fingernail under there, and I have pretty good, strong, long nails, but nope, no go. I try with the not sharp end of a fork, the handle end. I try that. Not thin enough to get under this tiny stick that's wedged way up there. I try with a nail file. I try with these special veterinary scissors. Well, I tried those first in the beginning to cut the stick. That didn't work. I tried with the veterinary tweezers. That didn't work. So I'm trying all these things. Finally, I yell upstairs to my daughter, who happens to be here again, and thank goodness, come help me, come help me. So she does. Now, here's the thing, and this is where we answer the email. It's very hard for those of us who love our dogs or cats and have this real gentle way with them, and we want trust, and we want love, and we want them to always think our touch is a wonderful thing, right? We never want to be harsh with them. We don't want to manhandle them. I don't. I can't stand watching videos where old-fashioned trainers flip dogs over and growl in their faces and hold them up with choke collars. And to me, that's just a crime and so unnecessary. It does not make sense to me. Dogs just want to please us once you earn their respect. So why would you do that? Anyway, I don't do any of that. But here's the but. When your animal's in extreme pain, and there's a crisis situation, or you have to do something with it like this, it's bleeding and you have to wrap the wound, it's got something sticking out of it that you have to pull out, like in this case, there's adrenaline, there's fear, there's pain. The animal isn't quite in its right mind, so it might bite you, might bite other people. So if it's not an injury to the mouth, you're going to muzzle your dog or cat no matter what, even if you have to do it with a ponytail elastic because you don't have a muzzle handy. You're going to make sure that mouth stays closed because they don't mean to bite you, but it's an automatic reaction. And you don't want it in the middle of all this. You can't tend to your pet if you're dealing with a bite wound. And your immediate reaction, if you do get bit, is going to be to shake it off, which could further injure your pet. So muzzle. But what about a mouth injury? You can't muzzle if you need to look at the top of the roof of the mouth, which was our situation. So somehow we had to hold her still, hold her mouth open, and pull that thing out. And at first I was trying by myself fairly calmly, just sort of hold her in a cuddly sort of way between my legs and hold her with her head up and all sorts of, but she just kept avoiding it. So then I get my daughter to come help me, and my daughter's 20 and she's strong. She's not a little kid anymore, but she's super soft natured. She doesn't want to manhandle this dog. She doesn't want to pin her down. She doesn't want to grab a handful of her fur at the back of her neck and hold it tight and pin the dog down and hold the dog's face and head against the deck completely still so I can get in there and pull this sliver out. It's just not in her nature. And the dog is the sweetest little cuddly thing. You don't want to do this, right? So it was very, very difficult. In the end, I managed to, with my daughter's help, but a lot of me holding the dog, but basically I did manage to get the dog in a position where her head was down against the deck and she was held completely still. And I was able to use human tweezers and get the edge of the tweezer between the stick and the roof of her mouth and then just pull down. And once it came out, it's like you go from crisis to happy calm within a couple minutes. She at first, you know, I let her up and she ran out the door all scared. And then I went out and offered her treats and then offered her more treats. And then within 10 minutes, she's back and grateful. Because all of a sudden, this pain that she's had all this time is gone. And she's realizing, and she even today, she'll jump right up on me. I took out the clipper. She was lining up for groom before the radio today. I'm like, no, we'll finish your haircut later, honey. So you can undo the fear really quickly when you're actually helping them. She's not afraid of my hand. She doesn't think I'm going to wrestle her at any moment or randomly throw her to the deck. No, she understands that that was part of that situation, that there was an emergency. And I saved her. She understands that me and my daughter saved her. Even a dumb dog will understand that. after the fact. If you love them and they love you and you've had lots of good contact, then when you have to manhandle them in an emergency, they will understand it's a one-off. And right after, you got to be sweet and cuddly and make sure they get it. But no, it's not a mood I'm in. It was to do with this incident. Now, why do I suggest all that? It sounds very aggressive, right? But if you don't hold the animal still, and I used to be a vet tech, and we often had to do things like this for the vet. If you don't hold the animal still, the struggle makes it so much worse. If an animal is held so still that it must submit and it must not struggle, it stops thinking about struggling. It calms down and it just lets it happen. And then, I mean, you have much better potential to do the intricate, delicate thing you're trying to do. Remove the sliver, remove the thorn, remove the porcupine quill, remove the stick, whatever it is, you have much better precision when the animal is fully still. But also, the animal has a way better experience, way better than the struggling. The struggling and the fighting is a problem. So you have to be very, very firm. Get the strongest person you've got to hold the dog still. And then the person that the dog knows the best is the one that does the intricate work. So I had to get in there in her mouth when she's trying to close her mouth and not get bit. And when you're dealing with the lower jaw, you can't pull it down or you could break it. So I have to have her mouth somewhat relaxed but open while I tried to do this. So at the same time as you're trying to completely immobilize her so she won't fight, you have to keep talking to her in a loving way. You have to keep reminding her that it's okay, as you do this work. But you're firm and you're strong, right? You're in charge. So there's no doubt and she doesn't fuss. Now, why would I do all that rather than take her to the vet? Well, the vet would have been 20-minute drive in pain still, right? And then you get to the vet, maybe 20-minute wait, half-hour wait, I don't know. And then you get in and then they assess her. She probably wouldn't have let them do anything she wouldn't let me do. Chances are she'll be less cooperative there. So then they're going to sedate her and remove it. And yeah, it's good care for sure. But she has to recover from all that. She went under for no reason. And it's just so much simpler to pull the stick out yourself, everybody. And now I'm watching her. She's eating well. She's not balking at hard food or hard treats. She's not acting like there's any problem. I've looked at it today. There's no sign of infection. The teeth all look sturdy. So it's possible that you remove the stick and you still have to go to the vet if there's a big wound or an issue. But at the moment, she's looking good. And that's how you deal with it. When you have to, when you absolutely have to, make sure your pet knows that you're in charge and it's okay. And there's no struggle possible, so they don't struggle. And that's the answer to that email question. Thank you for sending it. All right, everybody, one more break, and we'll be back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned.
We wear fur, and we're damn proud of it.
What?
And our four legs.
And our tail.
And we go to the bathroom outside.
Well, we may not be too proud of that. Sniff around, then mark your spot right here. Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And I was noticing just something on the internet, which is about things you don't do when you want to show your home. There was also things you don't do when you want to buy a home. Anyway, but this one caught my eye. When you want to show your home, like you're trying to sell it, one of the things you should never say yes to is when the potential buyer asks, can they bring their pet? And I thought, yeah, I would say no. Right now, you might think, oh, sure, I'm a dog house. I have a dog already, or I have a cat already. I like pet people. I'll let these buyers bring their dog, bring their cat. I'm sure their dog or cat will be comfortable here. Okay, but the thing is, their dog or cat will be comfortable in the new house once they're in it anyway. And there's no reason to bring a pet. But what they can do is they can cause a lot of damage. They could bring their pet and it could leave behind fleas. It could leave behind ticks. It could urinate. It could defecate. It could destroy something. You don't know how they're going to watch it. It could get injured itself. It could get loose and injure one of your neighbors. It could attack somebody. Like, why would you want other people's pets to see your home when it's all clean and fancy and ready for a showing? Just say no, people. That's what I say. Just say no on that one. So I thought that was very good advice. And I also saw some good advice I shared with you previously, but I feel like I have to share it with you again, because somebody sent their dog to Camp Good Dog and they sent their dog food. All good. You're supposed to. We don't want to change their diet too much. And they sent the instructions, feeding instructions, but in the box, the Tupperware box of food, they put a measuring cup that was glass. And it's a hard glass. Okay, I'll give them that. But we don't want to use glass. No, because just like in a bar, they don't use glass to dip into the ice. Because if you use a glass to scoop out some ice and the glass breaks or chips, you've got fragments of glass in the ice. That's why bartenders never do that. They have a metal scoop or something else, not glass. So the same is true for dog food and cat food. It would be very easy for just little tiny splinters of glass to get into that food bin, food jar, kibble, and into your animal's stomach. So let's not do that. Don't use glass. All right, that's my tip of the day. It's going to be a hot one here at Camp Good Dog. It's already fall, but it's a hot one. It's a really, really hot, beautiful day, so I want to go take advantage of it and go out, dogs. And I hope wherever you are, you're being good to your animals. For me, an Animal Party and Pet Life Radio. Ciao, meow.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.